coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's the 18th day of April, 2023, otherwise known, yes, as the real tax day. Yesterday was kind of a run-up to that, but for those, you know, ahead of the curve. But now it's the real tax day. Bombshell Senate GOP report, COVID leaked from Wuhan lab, where U.S.-funded gain-of-function research. Really? That's a bombshell? Didn't we know that? At least those people that were paying attention knew that. That, of course, is being featured in Just the News. And then Carrie Lake had recently, or had yesterday, I believe, done a video, which is really a good video, explaining exactly how the Maricopa County sabotaged Election Day. And that's something to see. And then, of course, we've got housing starts plunging 17.2%. I want to be very clear on that number, 17.2%. Interesting number, just saying, okay, for those who pay attention to that kind of thing. Raising recession fears, obviously. And then, of course, yesterday, I don't know if you watched any part of this. I watched the entire hearing, House Judiciary Committee hearing in Manhattan, which there were a number of witnesses brought by the majority, of course, the Republican majority. And when I say Republican, look, I get it. Same bird, two different wings. But I watched Nadler. I watched that woman freak from, I'm just trying to remember her name. But I watched the left there just rally against guns. And then I watched the right's witnesses explain their personal stories about crime. And the one black lady, I'll play this clip tomorrow. The one African-American woman, victim whose son was killed, just rallied against, against Nadler and the people, not Nadler, the other leftists there on the dais. It was something to see. I'm telling you, it was something to see. There were certain moments within that hearing that are extremely important. And the reason I say that does it matter? Is this going to change anything? No. But it does give you additional insight into who these people really are. All right, getting to the main course now. The main course of the day. Standale. Standale.com. Last weekend had just a fantastic Patreon meeting. And you know what? Look, we've been the platform from Patreon, which is just absolutely... I'm going to tell you right now. It crippled us. And it's crippling us all of the time. So we need your support. But having said that, do not stop. And in fact, continue supporting Standale, standale.com. Of course, we are more political, more anti. Standale gets into, as opposed to what we were, Standale gets into the more scientific aspects of things, including some geopolitical things, but the more scientific things with respect to what's going on the planet. And his Patreon meetings are always fantastic. So with me right now is Stan Dale from standale.com as well. And on your screen, before I get to Stan, I just want to mention EMP Shield. If you haven't purchased an EMP Shield yet, you know, Mother's Day is coming up, Father's Day, oh, I don't know, birthdays, anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, whatever the case might be. EMP Shield, or just in prepping, an EMP Shield is something you really need. And Standale, the brains, brawn behind the EMP shield, one of them, I guess, is the EMP shield gives you peace of mind. Because while the houses burn on the rest of your block from a sun event or from an EMP event of some sort, whether it's caused by the sun or by an enemy, by a balloon, who knows, your electronics, your house will be still standing. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. That's EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. But with me again is Stan Dale. A lot of stuff to get into. Without further ado, going to take a give it right to Stan. Stan, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
Let me check. Yeah, I'm all right.
All the pieces still there.
No holes yet. But yeah, I'm all there. So thank you for asking. And you? You look
well. Yeah, I'm recovering from the radiation treatment back in January. When I say recovering, I'm getting reports on it, and it looks like 99.1% of all the cancer cells have been killed as of yesterday. So
I'm going to tell you, you can't ask for anything. Other than not having it at all, you can't ask for anything better than that.
I know. I'm just tickled to death about it. And I've been telling people that have been emailing, asking what treatment I use, how to go about it in their state or whatever, because it is really a miracle treatment. But this new edge-focused radiation beam is just incredible. I mean, I 5 days, and I had 5 minutes each day of radiation treatment. That was it. Didn't feel a thing, and it was 12 miles from the house. I drove over, went in to put the little thing on that you wear and laid on the table, and that was it. So I'm just reporting that's I'm happy now. It's all taken care of.
Congratulations. You know, I'm glad to hear that, because we need to keep you around for another 100 years anyway.
For target practice or what?
No. One of the most knowledgeable people I know in terms of all things scientific, all things with respect to the sun, the earth changes, as well as the geopolitical scene. So,
all right.
I appreciate you on all of that. And by the way, folks, if you haven't done so, Cosmic Conspiracy, you got to get a copy of that. Dare to Prepare as well. That's Holly's book.
And Prophetic Perils. Prophetic Peril.
I was just going to mouth that right out. Prophetic Perils. And that's amazing, by the way. It's right over there on the table in the studio, along with Dare to Prepare and Cosmic Conspiracies. So thank you. And all of the intellectual products available at standale.com. So thank you. Go ahead, sir. It's all yours.
All right. Well, for your listeners here, they need to tune in on the internet to Show Images, our Show Images page, which you can get to by going to standale.com. And you'll see a big YouTube sign, and right underneath it in blue will say Show Images. And that's when you click on to the subjects I'm going to be talking about today. That'll be up there for about a week. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Now, look at number 62 right in front of your screen there. The Israeli Defense Force have been calling up reserves for possible large-scale military operation. The call up of reserve troops amid an explosion of terror emanating from Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, Judea, and Samaria. Now, they haven't really said there about the problem with Iran. Iran is, they're sneaking weapons into three countries or three parts here in Syria. And one of the main ones was Damascus. When I read that, let's see where that is. Iran exploits earthquake in Turkey to fly weapons to Syria, military equipment to Syria, blah, blah, blah. And let's just see which. The report noted that following the earthquake in northern Syria and Turkey, hundreds of flights from Iran began to land in three Syrian airports, Aleppo, Damascus, and Latakia. Now, that prophecy about Damascus becoming a ruinous heap overnight, it must be getting close, because Iran, anytime it's sending in weapons to Syria, it's proxy against Israel. I wait for the announcement the next morning that Damascus has been nuked. Now, I don't know whether Israel will finally just, you know, pull the pin and nuke Damascus, get rid of the Iranian weapons and whatever, or whether there'll be a natural event or, you know, a God-centered event that destroys Damascus, or whether the weapons that they send over, which will probably include some nukes here and there, will accidentally detonate and they'll bomb themselves, and Damascus would then become a ruinous heap that no one would live in anymore. Anyway, I can see the Middle East developing into something that's going to be prophecy fulfilling. We're just going to see it. And amid all of this stuff, Mohammed bin Salman over in Saudi Arabia, that sneaky devil, and I say devil, I think he's probably part of the Antichrist or false prophet of this time. He has told Israel, look, I'm going to sign a peace agreement with you that, the accords there that they signed, the Abraham Accords. And I'm going to make peace also with Iran. Well, he's done that. He's made peace now. They're going to make deals with China and with Russia. And this guy is just suddenly becoming the focus, as I suspected, of a lot of things against Israel. And if he signs that peace treaty thing that Abraham Accords with Israel, you know, I think all heck's going to break loose not long after that. It might be 2 or 3 years before he does that. It might be now. I mean, he's making noises like now, but, you know, he's stepping onto the world stage. I mean, he has investments in banks and in blockchain, you know, digital exchange. He's got oil, of course, control of that. And now then the whole world oil purchasing and selling agreements are in the Chinese yuan. They've ditched the U.S. dollar. It's no longer the petrodollar, which is, you know, causing havoc in our country, not to mention what Biden and the rest of his guys are doing with Soros. But it's just I'm seeing things that are quite disturbing. And then I looked, here in our Colorado gun bill, anti-gun bills in the Senate floor here. And you can see that in slide 58, if you want to look at that, Eric. This gun bill is, let me just read what it says. It expands Colorado's red flag gun confiscation scheme by allowing the designation of an additional individual or individuals as qualifiers to accuse people of potentially acting out in dangerous and unlawful ways in the future, and for authorities to confiscate their firearms to prevent these supposed actions from happening. Now, in other words, it's saying they're going to appoint, you know, one or more people who are qualified to say, well, look at Stanley, you know, he's one of those, right-wing fundamentalist Christians, and he's dangerous. Let's take his weapons away. There's no criteria put in there. It's just these people are going to have the right to come in and say, oh, yeah, okay, that person, take their weapons. And this is causing a great deal of concern over here in Colorado. I've talked to a couple of people that sell, you know, weapons, ammunition, whatever, in the town. And if this passes, they're virtually out of business.
This does a couple of things. I mean, this is backdoor confiscation, at least the way it reads and in practicality. Yeah. But it also has the practical capability of stopping gun sales or chilling gun sales, I suppose, in addition to being a backdoor confiscation of weapons already in the hands of individuals. So without due process, I might add.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. I was at the barbershop here over the weekend, and we were talking there. Some of the guys had been out fishing with their buddies and whatever, and some of them are police and other law enforcement people. And they were saying that the word is out, look out, Colorado, they're coming down on you. I'm, you know, reading this in the news, I can believe it now.
Man.
And that's just us.
coming to a state near you, again, this does kind of segue into yesterday's hearing in Manhattan, where the left had a bunch of anti-Second Amendment robots there as witnesses, not addressing the crime, but addressing the weapon, the anti-Second Amendment crowd, basically. So to me, this is going to really be a reality for most of America, because obviously the Second Amendment is an impediment to the taking away of all of our other rights, the remaining rights that we have, and they've got to get rid of it. So watch Colorado, folks, as Stan Dale has stated in pointing to this article. And if you know what, if we don't take action now, it's our own fault. So very good, very astute in pointing this out. I appreciate that.
And not only that, look at the country is just really being polarized. And it's at a point where at some point here, there's going to be, you know, armed groups who will form and try to take back our government and put it back to what it was. This will be a civil uprising. And then the government that is in power tomorrow will probably declare martial law, and it's going to be on for one and all. And while we're fighting amongst ourselves, surprise, surprise, China is going to jump on us, and Russia and Iran. All three of them together have made this pact to go after the United States. It reminds me of that Hopi prophecy that I was told when we were down there, Holly and I, at the Shingopavi tribe. They said it's going to be a multi-sided, multifaceted civil war is going to happen in the United States. And while they're fighting amongst themselves, you know, the Bahana, the Europeans in the United States, while they're fighting amongst themselves, China, Russia, and Iran are going to come in and eat our lunch. They're going to bomb a number of cities. They're going to send troops on the ground. But after a few, I don't know, weeks, months, whatever, they're going to turn around and leave the country. They will have probably so polluted it or taken everything they wanted that they don't care. And they've removed the United States as a viable defense mechanism for Israel against its enemies. So, you know, it just, we're on the cusp of that. I feel it. Out here where we are in the high desert here in Colorado, it's been a drought for years now. It's just a terrible drought. Our noses are all very dry, eyes are dry. And the Biden administration has now proposed, you can see this on slide 60, evenly cutting water allotments from the Colorado River. As the river shrinks, the Biden administration is getting ready to impose, for the first time, reductions in water supplies to states. And they're talking about cutting about 25% of the water, you know, downstream to California, Arizona, Nevada. And, you know, these places grow food for us. And, there you go. You've got it up on the screen now. Then this is terrible. I mean, they're doing everything they can to hurt the states that are probably very anti-Washington at the moment. And so by legislation, they're killing us. Take our guns, take our water. We all seem to have dried up. We're not terrorists anymore. We're gone. But that's what we're seeing.
And the water issue is going to be perhaps one of the more important issues. You know, that's why I really think if you're looking for property, folks, those who are looking for property, look for one that's got an aquifer or, you know, a spring on the property. That's going to be invaluable, especially as they things like this take place, the diversion of water. And then, of course, what the World Economic Forum and others like that have said about water, you're going to be paying for it. I mean, you want water? You're not going to get it for free. That's for sure. And I'm not talking about the city water that you would get out of your faucet. I'm talking about water in general. So there you go. Yeah, it's amazing. Again, another astute observation. StanDale.com. And folks, go to the show images page. If you're listening to this on any audio platform that we're on, go to StanDale.com and pull up the images.
Go ahead. All right. Let's go to slide 63, Eric. This is going to be of interest to Californians, to Oregonians, and Washingtonians over there on the northwest coast of the United States. Experts on red alert. Experts on red alert for a mega earthquake off the U.S. coast after discovering a crack in 600-mile-long fault line at the bottom of the Pacific. Scientists fear a hole in a 600-mile-long fault line in the Pacific could trigger a catastrophic earthquake that would decimate cities along the northwest United States. Now, we've been expecting this, but they're now coming out openly and talking about it. They say this feature is capable of unleashing a magnitude 9 earthquake in the Pacific Northwest, and the hole could be the fuel that it needs. The hole spewing hot liquid, it's a mixture of certain kinds of water, is 50 miles off the shoreline of Oregon, on the boundary of the dipping fault known as Cascadia Subduction Zone, which is, you know, the Juan de Fuca Plate. And if they're telling you this, you know, you can click on the picture and look at it. You can see where it is on the map. There's a little black rectangle in that picture there in the purple. And that's where it is, just on the coast of Oregon. This fluid is used to lubricate the Pacific plate that's moving under the American plate. And if that fluid leaks out, which it's doing now then, and it becomes relatively dry between the plates that are diving, you know, the Pacific diving under us, what's going to happen then is it's going to be jerky. It's going to hang, and then it's going to suddenly release when the pressure's too great, and that's what's going to cause that Richter 9 or, you know, 9.5 earthquake, whatever it's going to be. So look out, guys. I mean, this is your last warning, I think.
Wow. So, yeah. I didn't mean to cough in the mic. Sorry about that. But wow. Yeah, that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. It's something I hadn't thought about, was what lubricated the plates and why they were, you know, having this fluid that would allow the plates to just gently move past each other, you know, slowly moving down underneath the United States there. But, you know, I'd never thought about that. If you stop the lubricant, then the pieces of the shelf from the Pacific are going to start catching and hanging as they dive under the west coast of the United States. And when they hang, the pressure keeps on building, and then it's suddenly a snap. And that snap is going to be a 9.5 earthquake, which is going to just absolutely decimate cities all along the coast there. I don't even know what the tsunami is going to be like going over to Japan even, but yeah. It's official now, I guess I can say. They've done that.
Is this what, you know, how for many years people saying, well, California's going to break off from, it's going to break. Could this do something like that? Or would this be more just causing ruin to the cities?
I estimate that it'll cause a lot of flooding and shake damage to to Oregon, Washington, and possibly parts of Northern California. Whether it will break up the West Coast into islands, I don't know. It's pretty far up the coastline there. But I mean, you know, it down at Northern California there, where the Mendocino Fault Line comes in from the Pacific. There's also a link to the I think about 3 quake fault lines that run through California all the way down to Joshua Tree. So, yeah, it could cause things to break up there. It's just a guess.
Is it wrong to hope that Newsom and the other far leftists, you know, are like right in the middle of this thing? I don't know. Wow. I'm looking at this and just. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, coupled with this, we have strange weather all over the country. If you look at our webpage, the news page at hollydoesonstandale.com, you'll see a number of stories on some wind storms that are expected to have 90 to 97 mile an hour gusts of wind. And I mean, that's hurricane force winds without a hurricane, and flooding. And Florida is just absolutely, you know, getting clobbered over there. These weather changes are a function of the sun heating up the planet. And in regard to that, slide 59 says the world ocean surface temperature hit an all-time high since satellite records began. It has led to marine heat waves around the globe. Now, along with these heat waves, we're seeing these Sargasso weeds, you know, the big floating mats of stinky weeds washing up on shore. And they've got some of that headed for Florida as well. And sometimes that can release a toxin from this, from the various vegetations in these weed islands that come that are fatal if you're on the coast when that hits. So this is hitting us. The temperature of the oceans on average has only gone up a tenth of a degree centigrade, but variations of 2 degrees Fahrenheit been known to either trigger an ice age or the opposite of that in history. I just say, you know, the weather is not our friend at the moment. And I suppose I better get to some of that for you. Oh, earthquakes, talking about California stuff. Go to slide 43 in the picture there. And you'll see this is today's earthquake for the last 7 days. We can get to that picture there. There you go. And just zoom in up there where the text is. You'll see a red arrow showing where a Richter 6 earthquake hit on the 13th, which was 5 days ago, and then an aftershock right in the middle of it. This is in an area that you don't want. That's at the top of the Juan de Fuca area we were talking about, where that lubricant is drying up. And you can see the orange arrows are showing, you know, aftershocks that were related to that. And down where that little red one is on the coast, you're asking about, you know, is the San Andreas or other fault lines along the San Andreas, is it going to break up California? Well, you can see there's a cluster of medium-sized earthquakes that occurred all along that area after this one up here at the top. So, you know, it's time. Wow. Time to move.
Looking at the folks, take a look again. If you're watching or if you're listening to this, fine, but go to standeo.com, open the show images page, and take a look at this, because the clustering here, that's pretty disconcerting.
I'd like to see more quakes in that area, you know, smaller ones to relieve the pressure.
Yeah.
But if it hangs and you don't see anything for a while there, then hold your breath.
Man, wow. Bring more lube, Stanley.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. Hey, volcanoes are increasing across the planet. The slide 40 shows that two have erupted on the Kamchatka volcanic, are on the peninsula there in Russia. And they've blasted volcanic material clear up into the stratosphere in the same week. That's unusual. And to the right of that slide 41, you see Bogota, Colombia. Experts say a volcano responsible for causing one of the largest disasters in the Western Hemisphere is showing signs of increased activity, which has forced the Colombian government to issue evacuations in the potential impact zone. The deadliest volcano in Western Hemisphere shows signs of increased activity. And you click on the picture and you click on the article, and there you go. So that's active. Now, related to that, I think, is something we've talked about before. You know, people saying they heard this strange trumpet-like sounds in the sky. This has been going on for 10, 15 years, and it's back in the news again. In Australia, there's a truck driver, I think it was in Melbourne somewhere or another, at a caravan park, and he hears this this thundering, you know, trumpeting sound. If you click to the site, you can probably, let me just see there. I think you can probably actually hear the sound if you play that. Let me just see if that's the one. Yeah. I think that you can. If you go down, way down, if you go down almost, there you go. I think that will play the sound for you if you click on that. I don't know whether you can hear it in the studio, but it's kind of a, like a long.
What the f*** is that sound?
Jesus.
You can hear that, right?
Yeah, what is it?
I've got no idea.
It is strange.
up at Bonnie Down.
That's like some from there. Look up on the hill.
Can't say anything, but I can certainly hear that.
All right.
It's aliens.
Yeah, and that would freak you out, let's face it. If you don't see anything there, but it's all around you like that, and especially where you can feel this noise in your chest and stuff because it's so loud. Now, there have been several, scientific postulates put forward that say what's causing that. But the one that I think is probably the closest is that there are cooled lava tubes in a number of volcanoes around the planet that, they're like a long trumpet looking thing. And the pressure underneath that of the magma on those volcanoes is causing hot air to race up these tubes toward the surface and then come out. And the sound that it produces then ricochets across the planet at various altitudes. And it can go hundreds of miles from, where you are. And then you hear this sound. And to me, that's indicative with all the volcanoes that things are starting to move toward, a pressure on the crust. Whether there's a north-south pair of magma inside the planet, we have two or three of them. Whether there's one that's flipping right underneath an area where there are volcanoes and it's causing this pressure, or whether there is for some reason, a slight expansion of the planet. This has happened before, in my opinion, at the Great Flood event. But anyway, there's something that's causing this to blow like that. And one of the interesting things was that in Moses, when he was up on Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments, they said that they heard the mountain trumpeting, that would probably, it was a hot mountain, obviously. There was black staining on it. You can see it at Jabal el-Lawz if you look at the map there. But that's how they called it, was a trumpeting sound. And that's what we're hearing, this strange trumpeting sound. Is it a warning? Is it just it's a side effect of the changes that are happening, I believe, but it's still very freaky.
That's just Doug sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
I just have to say this. I really think, and for that comment, I really think that we should do, like, you remember the old Art Bell pro, well, you were on the old Art Bell programs, an Art Bell type program, start about midnight East Coast time, 1 a.m. East Coast time, and go through and have topics like this. And you could be the guest, the key guest. I'm no Art Bell, obviously, but try to recreate that because that was a good, gave a lot of information about things like this. And imagine hearing that at 2 or 3 in the morning, just thinking, Eric the Tech.
Yeah, well, he was good. He had a lot of input to the, from his own personal, personality, I guess. And Art was really good at that.
He was a master storyteller.
Oh, wasn't he ever? I just miss the old guy. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
The replacements of late just can't hold a candle to him.
No.
He was different.
No, there's no replacing Art Bell at all. And having the opportunity once to be there, wow, that was just, it's just, there's no replacing Art Bell, none. But except, I do remember you being on and, wow.
Oh, I was on, they replayed one of them or two of them here in the last 2 weeks in somewhere in time. They did two of my shows with Art. And
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It brought back memories, I'll tell you.
In the old Dreamland.
Yeah.
That was on, I think, Sundays. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to have to do that and make Eric the Tech come in at, 1 a.m. Eastern time. And because you're in the high desert. So
there you
go. Okay, go ahead,
sir. Okay, a couple of interesting things here in slide 44, Eric. If you click on the picture, this is a site that you can see where the planets are and see where spacecraft are that we've sent out from Earth. Now, I'll show you a link to that in a minute, but what you're seeing here in the green lines are the outer orbits around the sun. But you see Voyager 1, Voyager 2, where they are in relation to, you know, our Kuiper belt and where, to Pluto, you know, way out beyond that. So these are things that are continuing to go out and explore for us. And I thought that was an interesting thing to look at. Now, if you get out of that and go to the next slide, 45, and click on the picture, I'm going to show you some interesting things here. Remember in 78 when I wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy, I was talking about the grand planetary alignment that was going to occur there in 1982, I think it was. The Gribben and Plejman report on the alignment of planets causing, you know, pressure on the sun, which would then, you know, do wonderful things to the Earth with the coronal mass ejections and solar flares. Now, the picture you're looking at here is as of the 16th, a couple of days ago. And you see Earth there, and Luna is the moon on this side. But over on the right side, you see large planets like Uranus, Jupiter, Neptune, and Saturn. On the opposite side of the sun. Now, that does put a gravitational stress on that side of the sun and pulls the surface of the sun a bit toward them, which then make it thinner facing us, which might explain some of the very interesting coronal mass ejections and solar wind things that we're seeing. Now, if you go back to slide 45, and where it says today, click here, and you'll see that if you click on that anytime, you know, this is the 18th, it will give you an accurate position of where the planets are. And on that site, there's a way, if you scroll down, to pick a date and time and month and whatever to see where the planets are going to be. And this is a really a handy thing to look at if you're kind of interested in what's happening like that. Now, okay, all right, now, go to where it says also see in slide 45, where the biggies are in September, the 24th. Now look at where the planets and Earth are. We're all on the same side. Will that create, you know, an effect of gathering, you know, magnetic fields and plasma bursts over on that side because of the gravitational force of all these planets? I don't know. It's not a perfect alignment like we saw in the 1982 alignments, but it's enough mass swinging around the sun that it could cause it to wobble. And in my opinion, the sun's surface is thinning, the, you know, that we see. And that's why we're seeing more of these large magnetic disturbances that are throwing off filaments and things in our direction, sometimes ahead or behind our position in the orbit. But it's, yeah, I have a look at that. And all right, now, and let's see about the sun. Let's see, we were just there. Yeah, all right. Look at slide 52. Click on the picture. Now, this is a picture that was I got off of Space Weather. You see these dark lines. Those are filaments raising up above the surface of the sun. It's a quite unique way to picture this. And this is unusual. And if you click on the text underneath that, it will take you to Space Weather for that day, where it will discuss this in more detail. It says these plasma filaments are narrow tubes, and they, you know, they roll across the surface of the sun. They look dark because the plasma inside is a little cooler than the rest of the sun, which is that yellow color. They are famously unstable, and they often erupt, hurling CMEs into space. And you can see that right at the top left of that picture there, there's at the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere, there are a couple of filaments spinning there right now, and some higher, which would release CMEs that might clip us, but they wouldn't be a halo straight on. This is a quite good way to look at it, but it does fit what I'm saying about we're seeing the sun becoming unstable, and it's going to be throwing off stuff that we could possibly get clipped with pretty hard.
Yeah. Do those filaments change in shape, size, and?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they do. Right. In fact, there was one, probably 2 months ago, I saw one come off that was a different kind of dark filament. It was actually what they thought was dark matter, which is one of these mysterious matters in the universe at the moment, which is actually more plentiful than the matter that you and I know about, that you can see and touch. This dark matter filament was coming off of the sun. So, you know, that was interesting. And now look at slide 49, just underneath that. Look at the picture of that. And this shows magnetic field lines as of yesterday. And you can see that there, those white lines are the how these field lines are distorted and going in other places, you know, not just local between a couple of spots. They're zipping around the surface of the sun toward the southern pole. Well, the southern part of the picture anyway. And there's a string of them that are facing us right now. And that's very obvious if you look at that. And if you go to slide 46 right below that and click on the picture, this shows what happens when one of those filaments erupts, becomes unstable, as they were saying in the article, and throws stuff out. Now, this was throwing something out that at most it might clip us a little bit on the side, or on the top of our planet. But that's why these things are, you know, why you have to look at them. I mean, there's underneath this particular filament, they call it the canyon of fire. You can see that yellow streak underneath it as it erupts. And if you, in slide 46 where you are, if you click on the text, it should take you to a discussion of something there. Where do we find that here? Yeah, possible Earth-directed CME and this twisting blast hurdle CME. You can see that there in the top article, possible Earth-directed CME updated. And that was on the 15th. So, again, things are not normal. Go to slide 47. And that's one that I put up quite frequently. It's a heliograph showing what we could determine from one of our satellites that orbits ahead of us. What the backside of the sun is sending our way. The green area is from a current satellite working. But the black area is from the other satellite that was supposed to give us a complete picture behind the sun. That died so many years ago that, you know, we don't have that data. We can just kind of guess. But the zero at the bottom of that picture, zero longitude, that's pointing right at us. And if you look at the top left of that green area, there's a number of white, bright white areas. Those are what is about to approach us in the next 7 days. And it might even get bigger. We don't know because we don't have the data. But I look at this to see when and where the possibility of coronal mass ejections, you know, CMEs or flares are coming our direction. And if that swings around, it's low enough down, we could get a really good clip from that. So, okay, let me have this back here. Solar cycle. Okay, slide 48. Click on the picture of that. Now, this season, this solar sunspot cycle 25 has been so unusual that NOAA, NASA, everybody else has been predicting it, have had to shift their predictions several times since 2020 when the cycle started. And as you can see here in the red line, the red is that's kind of the center of what they predicted might happen. The blue was what they observed or what will be observed. But you can see this is almost double in the red shadow here. It's double what the green one is, which is the actual. The actual is actually almost double what the blue one was with the forecast. So what we're seeing here is they think at this point that the peak of this solar cycle is going to come early and it will start peaking in 2025. Now we've been approaching that peak on this side of it where the green bars are, but with even just approaching it before we get to the high spot for sunspot number predictions, we're seeing, you know, remarkable things coming off of the sun. So as we approach the top of that red and kind of orange area curve, then I expect we're going to see a lot of interesting things happening on the sun. And I use interesting meaning, you know, wow. And as we go past that peak and slide down the other side, we will still be seeing interesting things all the way down into 2026, maybe 2027. I had a gut feeling about this some time back that, this cycle was going to be very different. And I was right. It's proving to be very different.
That's still less than 2000, roughly, the time.
It is less, but the difference is this is a one-time event. We have a thinning, outer layer of the sun, which is, the magnetic turbulence is causing solar wind gaps, holes to appear up there. And that wasn't the case in 2000. It was still fairly stable. But with it stretching on the surface of the sun now then, and the pulling, when this kind of activity occurs, it could be much worse than 2000.
All right. Got it. Not liking it, but got it.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Let me see here. Oh, by the way, did you? Somebody. Oh, hold on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I've got a background video that was on the side. I was going to show you a picture. It's in our homepage on standio.com. Holly put it in there. It's about grapefruit-sized hail, and they show pictures on that article. It's down about seven articles down on the left side of our page. It says tornadoes, grapefruit-sized hail pound the nation's heartland. This is not good for crops and a lot of other things, but it's worth a read. And I don't know.
Oh my! Okay.
Okay, I finally killed that noise in my ear. Wow, sorry. I don't know how that happened. And another thing on our site there, scroll down a bit and see the size of the hail. If this hits your car or yourself, where is it? There, somewhere down there. Keep going. Where did it go?
Eric, it would be The title would be Tornadoes, Grapefruit-Sized Hail Pound Nation's Heartland.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
That's the one.
Yeah, imagine that coming down at 100 miles an hour or so, hitting your car or you. It could be a big hurt. And this is not a 50-pound hailstorm like they're talking about in the Bible, but it's still significant that these things are happening. It's just part of the changes.
Wow. Imagine, yeah. I mean, imagine that in your car. You'd hear that.
Yeah. Let's see here. I don't know what that's
so,
about.
So obviously, this did happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to show you another article on our homepage on standio.com. Let's see here. Right. On the right column of our page, standio.com under borders, skip down to the top of world events and you'll see invasion. And it's a video. And it says, count the number of military age Chinese men in this video that are headed for the United States across the border.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at the video, wow. I mean, they're coming for us. They don't have to land troops on the shores. You know, they can get all they need in the country when they get in the country. Yeah, you're seeing them there. These are guys. It's not so much as families as these, military age guys.
So, again, imagine to what you start out with or what we began talking about. If you look at that, China doesn't really have to send, ships of men over. We are bringing them up through by way of our NGOs, by way of, Mayorkas and company into the United States. How can anyone look at this and justify this as some sort of diversity program? I mean, folks, I understand what's going on here. Look at this. Wow.
I know. It just, and this is just, you know, today, this week. I mean, I think they said this week there were 10,000 coming across or something like that. Let's see here on our same page. Let's see, where did I put that? Here we are.
You know, I just wanted, while we're looking for that, I just want to say this. If you believe that 19 Arab Muslim hijackers took, you know, did 9/11, if that's what you believe, then why in the hell aren't you upset about what you're seeing here?
I know. You're asking for logic.
Yeah, exactly.
From these people that are emotional, you know, and logical midgets. They're emotional driven. Get an idea. Yeah. Now, on that same page there, I don't know, how long have we got now?
We've got for 9
Four
minutes.
Oh, that's nine. Okay.
Wait a minute. What was that? 8 minutes now.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that page then on standale.com in the borders section on the right there, and third article down, Biden's pipeline frees over 1 million migrants into the United States, exceeding the population of 6 states. Now, you know, that's the article there. And it tells you there, I think they're saying it exceeds the populations of Wyoming, Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Delaware. And to give you, you know, a kind of a scale of this. And he's just letting them flood in. What an idiot.
This is a replacement of the Western European stock in this country, folks. I don't care what people say. I don't care if that is not a cool thing to say. That's what this is. And it always results in some form or is equated with some form of genocide. I'm telling you, this is exactly what they've got planned for us. And look at that. That's highlighted on the screen. Eric the Tech, thank you. Wow.
Okay, slide 61, Eric. Media explosion over northern Israel has people looking to the heavens. Quoting them, meteors are observed every night, but seeing one from an inhabited place in daylight and over Israel is very rare. An asteroid expert at the Weizmann Institute has told the Jerusalem Post that the meteor was likely 1 meter in diameter based on his own observations of images and video taken. Then they quote Joel from the Bible, Joel 3:3. Before the great and terrible day of Hashem, that's the Lord, I will set portents in the sky and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So, you know, in Israel, they're certainly watching these meteors drop out as the beginning of signs in the heavens. And if you get a big one, it not only leaves, you know, like it's not only you just saw it in the picture, bigger than this will leave a column of smoke behind it. And those kind of are going to hurt when they land. I often wonder if the Sodom and Gomorrah destruction wasn't related to some sort of a thing like that. Okay, now, one other thing here, we're looking at these things falling out of the sky. Look at slide 51. This is part of a NASA project called Skyfall Asgard. If you remember, there was a series with a Stargate. They had a relationship with an alien race, and they were called the Asgard. I don't know if that's what they named this project like that, just to be funny or what. But if you click on the picture, you will see, there you go, you'll see that this is one of the micro, or maybe a little bit bigger than micro, meteors that has come in. It's been detected by the NASA project that scans the skies, you know, 360 degrees to catch this stuff. And look to the left of that slide 50, the Skyfall map. Now click on that, and that shows you, if you click on the top part, which will zoom up, that shows you in this period of time that they were measuring here, the various meteorites that came into our atmosphere, and the blue arrows show what the observers on the ground, what direction these things were going. and it shows the majority of them, where the majority of the population is, over on the eastern states and on the western states. In the flyover country where we live, there aren't many sightings. I don't know whether it's because it's a population density issue or whether these micrometeorites and larger are falling on the East Coast because of some other factor. If you scroll down, you can see here that we, at 6:49 Colorado time this morning, we had an asteroid pass between us and the moon at about 90,000 miles out. It wasn't a large one, but it was enough to record. It's 2023 HH. And there's the data on that page. You can zoom and see that. And it at the bottom part, it tells you, you know, when it's going to have close passes, which have already happened now, and in the future, the next couple of 8 to 10 years, I guess.
So that explains when I was coming into the studio about that time, my hair blew back, and I wasn't sure why.
Well, there you go. There you go. Now, if you want to visit the Skyfall Project, which has a lot of other information and videos and stuff, under that slide 50, on also see the NASA Asgard Project. And if you go there, you'll see that you can get reports, you know, as of the 18th, and you can click on that, and it'll show you what they determined today. And you can click on those and see what they've determined. And then scanning down, it shows you all about it. And there's a meter observation site down at the bottom, a link that you can see. Just that's where you are there, right there. These things are, you know, quite interesting. I think as we see more of these happening, that we're going to be entering the period of time that will fulfill prophecy as far as what's in Revelation and, you know, about the sun itself. Slide 54, just an interesting thing, not, you know, any bad news or anything, just an interesting observation. It's Mercury. You see a picture of slide 54. That's Mercury with a comet tail. And the tail is made of sodium gas. And if you click on the text down there, it says that, what's causing that is a bunch of micrometeorites hitting Mercury, and sodium is being boiled off. Let's see, 500 pattern. I wanted to read something here to you about some of the stuff that's causing that. Where is it here? Yeah. Solar wind, you know, from the sun, a micrometeorite hitting the planet ejects sodium atoms from Mercury's surface, making it look like a comet tail. So if you saw that in the sky, it wasn't a comet. It was just Mercury. Interesting little, you know.
Wow. As they said, you know, science, astronomy used to be so simple. Not so much.
Yeah.
As it stands right now.
And now on slide 42, click the picture. It's just a meme. And it kind of, whoever wrote this or designed this meme, you must have read my mind or my book or something. 2020, you see coronavirus is what the issue is. 2021, it's the vaccines is the issue. 2022, last year, was Ukraine. That's the Ukrainian flag there. And 2023, why do they have a flying saucer with aliens trying to catch our attention? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, folks, with that... That's Stan Dale, my good friend. And I'll tell you what, he knows his business, as you just heard, standale.com, D-E-Y-O, just in case there's any question. Everyone knows Stan, standale.com. And I'm so honored to have him with me. And I appreciate all that you do. Folks, remember, support Stan by way of Patreon, as well as purchasing EMP Shield, his products, Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, Prophetic Perils, all of Stan Hawley's works, all worth the money. Stan, thank you so very much for being part of today's program.
Thank you for having me, and good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. May God bless you. And we're gonna do like coast to coast, you know, the old time Art Bell show. We're gonna do that. We should do that.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Yeah. All right. Lord bless you. Bye bye.
Good night. All right, folks. That'll do it. Have a great day.